Time is moving, time is going. Father, we pray for wisdom. Give us wisdom so that we'll be able to redeem the time. Give us wisdom, O Father. Give us wisdom so that we might be wise in this age. Give us wisdom so that we might not be carried away by the winds of doctrine, by the waves that sweep men into destruction, by the deception that lies in the air. Keep us in truth, O God. Guide us with truth, O God. Hallelujah. Let our vessels be filled with oil, so that like the wise virgins, we will find the entrance into the door. Entrance through the door into the place of life. Let us be not be like those who sleep, those without oil. Oh, hallelujah. Give us wisdom to gather this oil. Give us wisdom to continue in your truth, oh God. Blessed be your name. We are gathered unto you today, Father, and we pray, oh God, that you shall visit us with your glorious presence. Let us see your presence, oh God. Let us hear from the throne of glory today. Let us hear from the secret place of thunder. And as we hear, oh Father, let every dark cloud that be clouds that, you know, hides that secret within us be dispelled. Let every dark cloud that has caused confusion in our lives and has caused us to, you know, to walk and roam the earth as vagabonds without a sense of purpose be dispelled in our life, oh God. Let this thunder, you know, sound from heaven and let the lightning go forth to illuminate your people in truth, oh God. In your truth, we shall know truth. Hallelujah. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free, oh God. Free as the Son of God. Free into the liberty of the glory of the sons of God. Blessed be your name, O God. We ask for spiritual wisdom, wisdom of the spirit of wisdom and understanding, so that as the words come forth, we are edified to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
As I was praying, I saw, you know, rose flower. There were two. One from the right, one from the left, attached to the stick.
Okay.
The color of the rose flower, you know, is not like the color. It looks, not pink, but very sweet, beautiful color. I don't know that color. You have to combine that color. Very sweet color. It just maybe like milk mixed with, not real white, you know, like butter color, then combined with a bit of red, but then it came out of the two. It just came, it was so, the way it came, you know, just suddenly like that, and this they met with the stick,
okay,
just like that.
Amen.
Then if they immediately. I saw, you know, this starfish.
Okay.
Exactly. I saw this starfish. That's what I saw. You know, this one at the bottom in the sea.
Yes.
You know, but this one, instead of it's flat, it was round with the different
angles.
Points, yeah, star like that.
Okay.
That, so, then I saw. Like a rope, not really a rope, like when you want to sew a wedding gown, you know, the end what they call the banding, right, buyer's banding, those ones say beautiful in the roll.
Okay.
You know, I saw it in the roll like that. Yeah. Some was out
already.
Then the other one was still.
So you use that to sew a wedding.
I'm just saying design. So to the buyer's banding, it come to cut to me. I didn't see wedding guy, but that's
okay.
Those things they used to finishing of the dress.
Of the wedding dress.
Ceremony.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Why I put wedding gown.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I see these are spiritual revelations from the Spirit of God, you know. And we always know the Spirit of God seeks to educate us about the mystery of Christ and His kingdom within us. Praise God. God wants to bring about fruitfulness in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
God wants to make us like the lilies, you know. How do you put it? The lilies in the valley.
Mm-hmm. The color of the something is lily. Yeah, that color, you know, is not pink, pink, white.
Yes, I understand.
Water color.
Yes.
Very beautiful color. It's right to.
God wants to make us something like that. Amen. He wants us to blossom. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And we know that we also are like the stars of God. You know we are stars.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is dull today. What's wrong? Do you know that we are stars?
Yes, yeah.
We are stars of God. If you look up there at night, you are looking at yourself. See, when God called Abraham out, told Abraham that, look, your seed will be like the stars of heaven. Those things are not just up there in the sky like that for nothing. Those things are deliberately placed there to remind us who we are. See, the stars are objects that are in the heavens. It talks of sons of God seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, the heaven is God's throne. The stars are seated in heaven. The stars are witnesses of God. They are true witnesses. They witness day and night. They speak light, revealing the mystery of God for all people to see. We are the light of the world. See, so when you see the stars, that is a parable. God is talking about you. You see, everything you see in the natural has got a physical, a spiritual meaning in God's kingdom. See, everything is created by Christ, for Christ, you know, for His pleasure. So when you go about seeing things in nature, things about they are all, it's like a parable. You are seeing the Spirit, you know, how do I say it? God's thoughts being made manifest in natural. For the invisible thoughts of God are made plain by the things we see. Why did Jesus Christ go about speaking in parables? You notice He was always speaking in parables. Because Jesus Christ knew the secret. He knew that the things that are seen are only pointers to God's kingdom. They are only pointers to the invisible. God is invisible. His kingdom is invisible. So when you see the natural, you can already discern what the invisible is like. When you see a wedding robe, or when you see a wedding in the natural, you can already discern your wedding to Christ. See, some folks are more interested in the earthly things, but you discover that the eternal things have more value. They're eternal. You see, those things that we see in the natural pass away, but that thing which is in the spirit, in the invisible, is that which remains forever. That's why Paul says that we do not look on the things that are seen, but the things that are eternal, invisible. For the things that are seen are what they are temporal. Now we are sitting now in this parlor today. Tomorrow, in the next 100 years, it might pass here. It might be another thing here. See, the beggarly elements of this world are temporal. But that which is in the spirit, God's kingdom and God are eternal. So the natural things point to the things of the spirit. So when you see things like the star, it's talking about you and I. See it? He's talking about the sons of God. God is speaking there. When you see a tree with beautiful fruits, you are seeing a good man. You are seeing yourself in Christ, bearing good fruit. But when you go and see a tree with thorns, you are seeing a man of the flesh, a man who does not know God. Amen. So there are many, many parables like that. Everything you see in this world is a parable. If you look at my body structure, everything is a parable. This is not me. If you have spiritual insight, you will be able to discern that I'm an invisible person. I'm not a physical being. I'm not a natural, material being. I'm invisible. I'm a spiritual being. Like my father is spiritual. So when we enter into trouble is because we try to live after the physical. And we forget that we are spiritual beings. We are celestial beings. Jesus Christ knew who he was. That's why he could say, I am not of this world. He had his physical body here, but he recognized that he's not of this world. He says that before you can be enter into the God's kingdom, you must what? Born again. Flesh and blood cannot what? Enter into God's kingdom. That means if you keep on living according to the outer, the natural, you cannot see the beauty of God. Because there is a realm that is beautiful. We're going to see this thing shortly. There is a realm that is invisible and beautiful, that is present. It's ever present. The realm does not pass away. It's always there. Praise God. But you can be aware of it or you can be asleep. But we know that many people are what? Many people are already dead in the trespass of Adam. When you live in relation to this natural world, you are like somebody who is dead. If you are not awakened to the reality of the spirit realm and God's kingdom, God's eternal realm, you are what? You are asleep, you are dead. So the aim of the gospel is to awaken us. You see, when you know the story of Adam, don't you? Adam. You've read it a lot. You see, that thing that happened to Adam, when Adam transgressed and was driven out of the Garden of Eden, it was not a geographical shifting. He was not moved out of the Garden of Eden, in a physical manner. It was a spiritual descent. Meaning that the Garden of Eden is always there. But he descended in his consciousness from a spiritual being to becoming a man of the dust, a natural carnal man, the man of the earth. And that is your problem. That is the problem of every man today. That identity after the flesh. See, so we're going to see that. My sister, you have one song before I share on what I'm going to share. One song, just give us one song.
Amen.
A solemn, beautiful song.
And Santo, 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 Santo. Santo, 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 Señor.
To say grande,
grande, grande, grande, grande.
Manifestate,
Thank you, God. Thank you for that word. So let us sit back and just listen to the word. What God has to say to us today. Praise God. Let our hearts be open like a flower to receive from the Lord. Praise God. The Bible says, listening to what the Spirit saith to the church. Isn't that what we are hearing today in the car? See, whenever I hear words like this, I meditate on them. And the Lord ministers again and again to me. The Spirit of the Lord. Mind how you hear the Spirit of the Lord as He speaks. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, this is an eternal echo we're hearing here. We're hearing something that goes eternally, speaking to people from age to age, to mind how you hear. Mind how, because your ability to hear is what will save you. Your ability to hear the Spirit is what will save you. Praise God. It was the ability of Noah to hear the voice of the Spirit that saved Noah. It was the ability of many others to discern and hear the voice of the Spirit that brought about their salvation. Praise God. Even in the days of Jesus, Jesus Christ was always saying, mind how you hear. Whether you know it or not, Jesus Christ is that Spirit. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, if we have known Jesus after the flesh, we know him no more after the flesh. Many people are still waiting to hold Jesus. Many people are still waiting to see Jesus coming down in the sky in a physical form. Many people are still waiting to, you know, tell Jesus Christ how they love him and how they missed him for 2,000 years. You see, but Paul says that if we have known Jesus after the flesh, it is over. We do not know him no more after the flesh. That body that Jesus Christ used to perform the ministry was simply an interface to manifest himself to the world. Praise God. It is evident that Jesus Christ is Spirit, because if he created all things, he must be Spirit, because the things that we see in the physical all came out from that which is what? Invisible, isn't it? Does that which is invisible come out of that which is visible? It is the things that are visible come out of that which is what? Invisible. Now, if Christ created everything, if Christ was before everything, it's obvious that he's Spirit. He doesn't have form. Amen. So if he appears for a moment in a body, in a man, through a man, Jesus of Nazareth in the flesh, we know him no more. He has finished the ministry. Praise God. But that same Spirit that functioned in Jesus is still speaking today. That same Spirit that spoke as Jesus Christ was here upon the earth is still speaking today. It's an eternal voice. Praise God. It's a voice that goes from age to age, seeking to awaken people to truth, to righteousness, and to bring people into this loving and, you know, safety of the shadow of the Almighty God. Praise God. Because from generation to generation, there are always a people that are sinking down into destruction, and there is always a people that do what? Are awakening into the light. Praise God. That's why the Bible says that. How does the Bible put it in the book of Isaiah? Arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is what? Risen upon you. But what will happen to the nations? Gross darkness will what? Cover the nations. Gross darkness. Who talks of ignorance? Amen. There's a, while there's the light is dawning on you, there's another people that that are what? Darkness. Gross darkness. Which is, what is, which is ignorance? Darkness talks of what?
Ignorance.
Ignorance. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Ignorance about what? Ignorance about this is what we're going to discover now. It, because there you will discover that it's only one thing that every man has to know. Only one thing. Only one thing that you have to know. And that thing is enough to sustain you for all eternity. That secret. We're going to see that secret today. That is the only thing you need to know. When you have that secret, when you know this secret, you are saved. You have entered into your rest. Amen. That knowing is not just head knowledge. We're talking of experientially knowing it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we're going to look at the call of Abraham. Abraham heard the voice of the Spirit. Praise God. But now we're speaking here in allegories. We're speaking here in shadows. Because in reality, Abraham did not have the kind of spiritual calling that we have. Abraham had a physical calling. He was moved from one geographical location to another geographical location. And Abraham was prospered in the flesh. But Abraham died never entering into the hope, never entering into that promise. He died in hope, hoping. But we are the generation who are going to enter in. We are the ones that enter in and, you know, reveal that thing that all these saints of old were seeking for and never found. The Bible says that they searched these things out day and night, but they could not understand it. This thing that we are preaching today, prophets of old tried to understand these things, but they could not understand them. The prophets of old, they knew that something was coming, but they could not crack this mystery. But today we have this mystery because of the grace of the Lord Jesus upon us. So we are not the generation that hopes, we are the generation that enters in to possess our inheritance. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So let us look at Abraham, because Abraham, like we see, is a pattern for all ages. From age to age, there's going to be a people like Abraham that God is going to call out from among the nations. Praise God. In Genesis chapter, this was chapter 12, from verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Let's stop there. So Abraham received the call. Amen. Now that is a call that we are receiving this hour, brethren. Listen very attentively, because I'm going to get one mysterious secret today. Amen. Hallelujah. If you can grab this key today, you'll be opening the doors to heaven. Amen. Abraham got that. He heard that message. Leave your people. Leave your country. And I will take you to a new country. I will give you. Leave your family. Leave your business. Leave all that you have. And I'm going to take you and give you greater things, greater blessings. And God made a promise that in the seed of Abraham, his family, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Anyone that curses you is cursed, and anyone that blesses you is blessed. I will make you great. Amen. Praise God. I will make you a father of many nations. These are the promises to Abraham. And Abraham obediently left all to seek that thing that God was leading me into. Brethren, that calling is for us today. If you can hear the Spirit speaking today, God is saying the time has come to begin to pack your bags and luggages and begin to head for a place, a destination that God is about to reveal to us. Praise God. Turn quickly to the book of Isaiah 51. Bind that spirit of sleep. I will say Isaiah 51. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone, and I blessed him and increased him. Praise God. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort her waste places. He will make a wilderness like Eden, and a desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found in it, and thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Praise God. Let's stop there. Are you listening? Look unto what Abraham, your father, and Sarah, your mother. These are our parents by the Spirit. We're talking according to the Spirit. Amen. This Abraham being the father of faith. See, Abraham heard the voice of God. Amen. And he decided to leave all to pursue that which God was showing him. Praise God. And this is the same pattern God expects every child today of God who's being called into glory. It's a spiritual movement today. Today we're not going to pack physical luggages, but it's now talking of a spiritual movement from the natural into the spiritual. Praise God. Amen. From the kingdom of this world into God's kingdom. Hallelujah. He's speaking here about turning the desert places, the waste places and the desert places, the wilderness, into a garden. The garden of the Lord, the garden of Eden. Does this remind you of something? Do you know what the Garden of Eden is? Does anybody know what the Garden of Eden is? Does anybody know where the Garden of God is? Does anybody know where God can be found? Does anybody know where God's kingdom is? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know that in our lives as human beings, in that degraded life we have lived in ignorance, we have lived in a sense of lack and poverty. We have lived like a desolate wilderness. Amen. If we all partook of the transgression of Adam, aren't we a product of the wilderness? When Adam transgressed, where did he go? Into the wilderness. Adam was where? In the Garden of Eden. Adam was in the Garden of God. Adam was in the glory of God. Adam was in the presence of God. Adam had all glory and all power and all dominion. But what happened along the line? He transgressed and lost all that, and Adam was cast where? Into a wilderness where you have thorns and thistles growing. Where is that? It's a wilderness, it's a desolate land. Adam was cast out into a realm where there is suffering, turning, sweating, fear, anxiety. Amen. Pain, hell. This is the torment that faces the people of this world today. If you still have fear in you, if you still have torment, you worry for tomorrow, anxieties for life, as the nations do, Because you are simply partaking of that thing that Adam was cursed in his transgression. It's a spiritual condition. Amen. That is why you go about roaming and looking for happiness. Amen. Some people have gone from church to church looking for this happiness. Amen. Some people have looked for money and, you know, got the money and the money didn't work out. Some people have thought they could get the happiness and the fulfillment in maybe marriage or in something, but at the end it never worked out that way. Some people always think that they could get some kind of that kind of fulfillment in life by trying to get something out here, but it never works out. There's always a lack, a void in the heart of man. Praise God. But God, in His grace and in His mercy, He's calling His people out. Those who can hear the voice of the Spirit, those who can hear the voice like Abraham, and begin to leave the vanity of this age and begin to follow the leading of the Spirit, because it was the Spirit, it was the Lord that led Abraham all those years. Amen. Those who follow after righteousness are those who follow Christ in the regeneration. These are the ones that follow Christ wherever He goes. These are the ones who are going to have their desert conditions converted back into what? The Garden of Eden, where there can be found joy, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody, where you can find your gladness and your joy and everything, and your victory once more. Amen. What else do you want in this life? It's not joy, victory, happiness, gladness. Amen. And all these things is found when you are back in the presence of what? God. We're not just talking of some kind of to experience the totality of God's presence. Amen. That is the place of the fullness of what? Joy. But there has to be a movement. It's a spiritual movement. We have to begin to hear the voice of the Spirit. Amen. We must hear the voice, not the voice of men, not the voice of religious teachers, but the voice of the Spirit. Because it is only the Spirit that can guide the souls of men back into where? That place of life. You see, these pastors and these men of this age do not know the way to life. Jesus Christ likened them to what? The blind leaders that lead the people into the pit. Now, where is the pit? The pit talks of death, destruction. When the blind lead the blind, where did they finish up? They finish up in death. You see it? But it's the Spirit that has eyes. It's the Spirit that sees. It is only the Spirit that can lead you into the place of life. And we're like, we've established the Spirit is who? Who is the Spirit? Christ is the Spirit. Christ is the Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Christ is present. He has the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when Jesus Christ went about His ministry, when He got His disciples, what did He do to them? The first time He met His disciples, what did He normally tell them? What is normal first thing that Jesus Christ would tell the disciples? Hey, you. Follow me. Follow me. That is the voice of the Spirit speaking. Now, if you wait for Jesus Christ in the physical to come and meet you today and tell you, follow me, you are greatly mistaken. You must be able to hear that voice in the Spirit. And that voice is telling, as He's telling you, follow me, He's leading you where? To Mount Zion, the spiritual peak of God, where God's presence is situated. Amen. Praise God. Follow me. That was what he was demonstrating as He took His three disciples and led them up the mountain. I transfigured before them. Because the lamp of God, Christ, leads you up. so that where he is the where we will be. Isn't that what he said? Where I am is where you will be. Where I am is where my servant will be. Where is Christ today? He's at the right hand of what? Of God. In heaven. He's seated upon the throne. So we who are follow Christ in the regeneration have a place at the where? Right hand of God. And the right hand of God is where you have what? Pleasures forevermore. Have you read Psalm 16? It's where you have pleasures forevermore. It's where you have the protection. It's where you have the joy. Hallelujah. It's where you have everything for your sustainment throughout all eternity at the right hand of God. Where he is where we will be. It's not something for tomorrow when you die, when you go to heaven. You see, people seem to have a mistaken concept of God. Some people think that God is one creature seated on a throne, seated on one physical chair. I wonder how big the chair will be. Huh? Some people still picture Jesus, you know, one big God sitting on a big chair, and when it's right, there's a physical chair, and Jesus is sitting on the right with his crown, you know, and there are many angels with wings all around, you know. People, these are the fairy tale versions that we hear from religion. God is spirit. Amen. God, you see, God uses, when you see here of God sitting on the throne, it's an expression used to tell you that God is, you know, in control. All, he rules, he reigns. Because from the natural, we can discern the things of the spirit. God is spirit. He does not have a physical destination or location, geographical location somewhere. No, it's a spiritual dimension. God is everywhere. Praise God. We have to begin to open our eyes to understand the concepts of God's kingdom, the concepts of heaven, the concepts of the spiritual realm of God. Because God covers it all in all. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, while he was here upon the earth, he told them plainly, nobody has been to heaven except the Son of Man, who is where? In heaven. A present state. Jesus, as he was here, he was walking in heavenly places. Amen. And this was what Paul confessed. He says that we walk in heavenly places where? In Christ Jesus. A present tense occurrence. See, but people look at this thing as something to happen in the future. Praise God. But God is revealing to you today that the kingdom of God that you are searching for, the throne of God that you are searching for, the presence of God you are searching for, is where? Inside of you. But you must awaken. Because you must awaken. You must awaken from the dust. Because up to now we have been sleeping in the dust. We've been sleeping in our bodies. We're sleeping and walking in relation to a temporal false order. But now the time comes to begin to awaken as we hear the voice of our Master telling us to come forth. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. As we begin to come forth, we follow the lamp. We follow Christ. Follow me. He leads us, you know, to the place of life. He leads us to that realm of abundance where we can come to a place where we lack no more. He leads us to a kingdom that does not pass away, because the kingdoms of this world are what passing away constantly. Now you see me today, I have the opportunity to speak with a physical body, to talk with you with a physical body, but it not be like that forever. See it? Praise God. So we have to begin to learn how to redeem the time. How time is precious. Very important. Because the inward part of a man will tell him that he will live forever. Mm-hmm. That is the deceit of a man. A man flatters himself that he is immortal. See, but in reality, men don't know that they will die. Do you know that? Some people say they know they will die. It's a lie. If you knew that this world was temporal, you wouldn't do certain things you are doing. Mm-hmm. See, wickedness abounds in this world because people are not aware of how temporal this order is. Praise God. You know, I like to listen to comments. Now, when you listen to great, great men who are about passing away, and you hear their statements, you discover that most of them will always tell you at the end of the day that there's nothing. See, here you just come into this realm and you just suffer irritation, pain, anguish of soul, worries, and at the end of the day you just perish off and die off. But there's a people that are going to lay hold of on life. There's a people that are going to lay hold on eternity. There's a people that are going to lay hold on the beauty and the glory of God. Those are those who can hear the voice of the Spirit today. Those are those who can hear the voice of, you know, the Spirit telling them to come out from the countries. Now, when he says come out of your country, he's talking of come out of your earthly, your sense of earthly, your that sense of, you know, earthly belonging. Because we're now being converted from the earthly to becoming what?
Heavenly.
Praise God. Amen. Now let's quickly hold that place in Isaiah 51 and rush quickly to the book of 1 Corinthians 15. Hope I'm not going too fast. Yeah. If something is not clear, try to tell me. Because I know at times people complain that I go too fast. Okay, the idea is that people should understand, not just to preach. First Corinthians 15, verse 47. Are you there?
Yes.
Verse 47, it says, the first man was of the earth, made of what?
Dust.
The second man is what? Who's who? Look, I'm not. Is that Italian?
It's Italian.
I'm sorry. Okay, let's go. So the second man is what? The Lord from heaven. Go down to verse 47. The first man was of the earth. No. Where am I now? Okay, the first man was from the earth, made from the dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as the man of the dust, so also are they who are made of the dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Now read this verse 49. It's very important. And as we have borne the image of the man of the dust, we shall what? We shall also bear the image of the man, the heavenly man, the celestial man. Are you listening? What Paul is saying here is that we have what? Borne the image. That we have walked after the image of the man of the earth, that is natural carnal man, but we are going to what? Also bear the image of what? The heavenly man, which is who? The Lord from heaven, which is Christ. Are you listening? This is a very important teaser. We have borne the image of the earthly. We are going to also bear the image. Now, this is not something that occurs tomorrow when you die. It's not something that occurs when you die and go to heaven. Some people think that probably when you go to heaven, you're going to become like Jesus, and that is when your perfection comes. See, but what Paul is trying to say is something that occurs now. Praise God. Those of us who can hear the voice of the Spirit and allow the Spirit to lead us, amen, in the regeneration, are those of us, are we who are going to be converted from that earthly creature. Amen. Into that which is celestial, which is that which is heavenly. Amen. We are the ones who are going to become the heavenly what? The city set upon the
east.
The city set upon
the hill.
Amen. No more the cities of the earth. No more the nations of the earth. This is the movement that the Lord is taking us through today. Oh, hallelujah. It's important we get this. Are you people sleeping?
I'm not
Okay. I'm not seeing everybody getting a bit shaky. Let's go back to Isaiah 51. Shake yourself from the dust. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Go down to verse 6. 51 verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath. For the heavens will what? Vanish like, away like smoke, and the earth will grow old like a garment. And those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be for what? Forever. And my righteousness shall not be what?
Abolished.
Listen to me, you who know righteousness. You people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. For the moth shall eat them like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Are you listening? Very, very powerful statements. Mm-hmm. You see it? Now, this is all reference to we who are being called out. We who are being called out in the manner of Abraham. We are being called out of this world, of this realm, called this world, into God's kingdom. God is saying that look around. Look around you, amen. Everything that you see will what? Will vanish. Corruption will what? Will feed on it. Worms will what? Lick it. Will feast on it. Everything you see around will grow old, fade away, and perish off. If you have ears, you hear. Not everybody is able to hear this thing. That's why people carry on doing whatever. But this salvation that we are being called to, this dimension we are being called to, this realm that we are being called to can never pass away. We are holding on to something that is what? Eternal. Something that cannot be shaken. Something that cannot be what? Removed. In the book of Hebrews it's written that we have gotten an inheritance that cannot be what? Shaken. Because in a short while I will shake the heavens and the earth. Now this is a continuous statement. From generation to generation there are shakings. Amen. But we have an inheritance that cannot be moved. We who are being gathered upon Mount Zion. Amen. We have an inheritance that never moves. We are the ones, you know, Jesus Christ said some people will never taste death. Jesus Christ said some people standing here will not taste death. Now that is the Spirit speaking. When the Spirit is speaking, he's saying that some of you standing, that's those of you who gather in me, gather unto Christ where he is. He's saying of you standing here, it's a present tense statement. It's the Spirit speaking. And when the Spirit speaks, it's eternal. Some of you standing here will not taste death. That is, those of us who are able to gather, recognize the presence, and gather unto Christ, what happens? We'll never taste what? Death. Because the Bible says that he has brought what? Immortality and life into light through the gospel. Amen. Because God and death have nothing to do with each other. See, death is not something that was ever in the vocabulary of God. Death came in when man transgressed. Praise God. So Jesus Christ says that the times of you here will never taste death. And those are the people who are the ones who follow Christ in the regeneration. Those who follow the leading of the Spirit in this hour. Those who can hear the voice of the Spirit in this hour. So look around you. Everything will what? Disappear. Everything will dissolve. The worms will be feeding daily. And the rust will consume things. And everything will fade away. But we are called to a heavenly kingdom, a spiritual dimension that can never pass away. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my what?
Right.
My word will never
see.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So let us have a revelation of God's kingdom today, brethren. Let us have a revelation of our calling as Christians. Praise God. Because our gathering is unto Christ. Our gathering is unto the Lord. The hour has come to know what your calling is. If you don't know your calling, if you don't have a clear view of what your calling is, how can you possibly enter? You must know what the Lord is talking about in this hour. Praise God. God is calling us in this hour to simply begin to recognize our part in Christ Jesus from the foundation of the world. God is calling us in this hour to recognize that in reality we all, you know, originated from Christ. Are you listening? We all originated from where? From Christ. That's why I call you lost sheep. He wouldn't call you lost sheep if you were not somewhere before. You are lost because you strayed away. We strayed away in the ignorance of this world from our place in God. So he has come to do what? Gather us back in one, in Christ. So that we become one spirit. And did you read these things in the Bible? He said, he that is joined to the Lord is one what? One spirit. We are one spirit. I am you, you are me. We are one spirit. See, the thing that ever separated us was the lie. When we were living according to the outer. But when your eyes are open, you begin to discover that we are one spirit, one body. See it? That's why the Bible says in Ephesians that having made known to us the mystery of his will. Are you following any? You're tired. Having made known the mystery of his will, what is the mystery of his will? To gather all in Christ. To gather all of us in one in Christ. That is the will of God. Amen. The will of God is to gather all in what? In Christ. And when we are gathered in Christ, what happens? That is the end of the faith. 1 John chapter 5 says that he has come to educate us that we are part of him. I'm going to run off here. Tomorrow morning we'll share something else because I feel some of us are getting tired. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. Just Tom, let's round. 1 John, see. Can somebody read that? Not Italian. Read it in English, please. 1 John
chapter
5. Yes.
6. And we know that the Son of God is come and have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Now how can you interpret that scripture if you look at it properly? It's a very powerful scripture. That is giving us a summary of why Jesus came. See it? He has simply come to reveal Christ as our image, our true image, our true identity. See it? He has come to reveal our part in him. That we are in him. See it? He has come to reveal that we are him. We are part and parcel of him. We are one. See it? And that is the true God and eternal life. That body of Christ is the true God and eternal life. That's what he said. He said that we are part, that is, we are in him. Is it but we are veiled, isn't it? You didn't know this thing before, isn't it? He said, you thought you were a sinner, isn't it? Okay, you thought you are an unworthy sinner, that maybe God is far away and you are there and you are, God is another fear. But God is now trying to tell you, educate us. That is the light that is shining. When God says, let there be light,
there was light.
Yes, that is the light that is shining in our hearts, dispelling the darkness. The darkness is the ignorance.
Amen.
Ignorance of this truth. So the revelation that is coming from heaven, from the Son of God, from heaven, is simply revealing that we are in Christ. Amen. The way He is the way we are. Christ in you, the hope of
glory.
Praise God. This is the mystery that God wants the church to have in this hour. Amen. This is the mystery that God wants every man to awaken to. Amen. You don't need anybody to come and start taking a rod on your head and, you know, hitting you and trying to tell you that you are nobody, you are anything other than what Christ is. Amen.
Amen.
Christ did not come to condemn any man. Amen. He simply came to do what? Educate you. To tell you the truth. That we are what? We are one. One body. One. Amen. He is the light that lightens every man that comes into the world. That is, we are all part of that light body. It's a light body. We are all part of it. Amen. So he wants to, you see, we didn't know these things. That's why we were sleeping in the graves. You see, when Adam transgressed, what happened? He died. Amen. Now, when Adam died, didn't he live on to almost 1,000 years? Even after the transgression, he lived on for hundreds of years, but he was dead. Spiritually speaking, he was dead because he lost that knowledge of himself in Christ. Who told you are naked? Who told you are a sinner? Where did you learn this thing from? Where did you learn? Where did you get this thing from? That is the teachings of men. That is man. That is man. Man always seeks to teach you. To that's the devil walking through man. The systems of this world are there to hide the mystery of Christ in you. Praise God. So like the light is shining now, and like Abraham, we have to ascend. We have to begin to go back to our place in God. You have to take this in by boldness and by confession, you know, by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, by your confession. Recognizing the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth to what?
Set you free.
Now, what is this truth that we have talked about? What is this truth? The truth is your true identity. The truth is Christ. Christ in you. Amen?
Amen.
If you know yourself the way you are known of God, the devil can no longer put fear into you. Praise God. So this is the work of God today in our lives. He wants us to hear the voice of the Spirit. There is an eternal realm, a kingdom, invisible kingdom that never passes away. There is a dimension that we belong to that is not of this world. There is a realm that we belong to that is not. There is a realm that never passes away. A realm where there is abundance. It's a realm of what? Unlimited blessings. It's a realm where there is no fear and anxiety. Now, you know, Jesus Christ didn't have to have big accounts. You know that? He didn't have to have big accounts to operate. What Jesus Christ had was the knowledge of himself as the Son of God. That's all that was his treasure. Jesus Christ knew himself. He knew himself as Christ. That is why that was his ticket. That was why he could live in the supernatural. Likewise, we, as we are waking to this reality that the way is the way we are, our fears will begin to what? Vanish. And our limitations will begin to go away from us. Praise God. Now, why do you think a man puts millions in account? And a man tries to plan for tomorrow and plans for this. Why do you think this came from? It's insecurity. It was not like this in the beginning. Now you go to African countries and you see people, you see a single person stealing the whole bulk of the government money and all that kind of stuff, trying to secure some kind of future. It was not so from the beginning. In the beginning, all we had was what? The knowledge of ourselves as sons of God. And that is what God wants to restore to us today. But there must be a movement. We must hear what the Spirit, we must be sensitive. Amen. Sensitive in the Spirit. Sensitivity in the Spirit is the key. So let us not be swept away and carried away with the many, many voices. Amen. Any voice that tries to tell you you are naked, any voice that tries to, you know, strip you of the knowledge of Christ in you, is not of God. Jesus Christ says, in that day you will know that you are in me and I am in you, and you are what? In the Father. That is what he came to. That is the work of God. He wants you to recognize who you are in Christ. Praise God. So let us awaken. Awaken, brethren. I'm going to round up here. Just tomorrow we'll share something. You could just digest this. We'll go down again. I know, you know, some of these things might sound a bit amen, but God will lead us through. Father, we thank you. Glorify your name. Blessed be your name. We pray, oh God, that these words will spring forth in our hearts, germinate, bring forth life, healing. Let us recognize our hidden potentials in you. Let us recognize the truth about our who we are. Because recognizing the truth is what liberates us. Recognizing our true, immortal, and incorruptible nature in the likeness of Christ is what causes us to sower in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for this victory. Thank you, God, for this knowledge. Obstacles of fear we cancel, we banish from our lives. Anxieties we banish.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Blessed be your name.
Amen.
Amen.
I started the prayer.
Oh, God, love you.
Lollipop, ice cream.
Amen. Sweet, sweet, goody, goody. God too has a sense of humor, doesn't he? You see, the lollipop you take in is natural. You put it in your mouth, it's gone. But that's eternal lollipop, eternal sweet that you put in your mouth and you never go out. You just taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Come, let's pray for our sister here.